Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Today, our emphasis is on our Lord's resurrection, of course, for it is Easter. And it is an important event. Much depends upon this resurrection, both in the present and into eternity. It is a useful and good resurrection. And it comes to God's praise and to His glory. Therefore, it is our duty, and it is befitting of us to pay attention to it, to listen to it again, to celebrate it with festivity, and to thank our God. Indeed, when it comes to the resurrection, there can be never too much of this good thing. Every Sunday is Easter. Always Jesus died and rose for you without ceasing, His death for you and your justification. So, the New Testament records the resurrection in detail. All four evangelists record the resurrection, and then the apostles in their epistles tell you what its benefit is, just as Jesus has. First, to our Lord's resurrection, to the historic event. It is quite unlike every other resurrection recorded in Scripture, and that we might know. It's not like Lazarus' resurrection, to whom Jesus called into the tomb and made him rise from the dead. And you see, resurrections do happen. I see Dolores in the back. We've seen resurrections. We know that at times our Lord is not done with someone, and through the medical arts, we are able to call them back from the tomb for a time until they die again forever. When death and the devil approached Jesus, who lie in the tomb, they thought of him as another such easy victory. Another man to devour, to swallow up, to strike at and gulp with death. But as Peter says in Acts 2, it was not possible for death to hold him. Why? For he is God, and God cannot die. But not only that, he is true man, without sin. And so death has no claim on him at all. For all have sinned and deserve death, but not Christ. Not Christ. For he has not sinned, and so he does not deserve the wages of sin. Death has no claim on him. Just as Paul said in Romans 4, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So also Paul writes later in Colossians. He says, Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. While sin had to reign over Adam and all of Adam's children, over us, death could not reign over Christ, for he came and quietly, by his death, overcame, spoiled the plunder of the evil one and all these enemies. Indeed, when they bit upon him to chew him to death, they broke their teeth on him. Indeed, when death thought they had Jesus finally, along with the devil, Jesus tore them apart, tore them open, snared them by his own body. For he did not deserve death, and he could not die. It is a pretty amazing thing, don't you think? That one man could overcome the sins of all the world. That one man could destroy death and hell forever for you. And so how do we think of him? We think of him as the mightiest and greatest of both heaven and earth. For he was innocent without sin. He was stronger than death and hell and all the devils. And for this, we esteem him. We love him. We uphold him. We call him Almighty, the Son of God and the Son of Man. And with great might and power, as such as he exercised over death and hell, it stands to reason that anything that he taught, and especially anything that he does, is important. As it was said, all four evangelists record our Lord's passion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. All four, because this is mighty suffering and a mighty resurrection. And yet perhaps you've encountered other Christians or unbelievers who just don't know quite what to think of Jesus. Was he a good example for us? Was he a prophet who could tell the future? A visionary who had a grand hope for mankind? Did he speak with eloquence and boldness, defying the man? Or was there something more important that Jesus truly was all about? See, all of Christ's words, indeed the whole word of the Scripture, is empty without his death and resurrection. And it would be lazy preaching for us to not proclaim Christ and him crucified. For in that act, everything makes sense. All the promises of the Old Testament, everything that is needful for us, comes to us in Christ, when he burst death asunder by his resurrection. But you might have caught that it isn't simply enough just to acknowledge that Christ is the mighty and powerful one, that he truly rose from the dead, and that many saw him, as Paul told us in today's epistle, even 500 at one time. But it is absolutely essential that this resurrection and death, two sides of the same coin, be given, that it have power and fruitfulness in you. You see, he overcame and defeated death and the devil, not for himself, but for you. He took his own body and strangled the devil. He drowned death with his blood. He washed away sin by his martyrdom and suffering. And this wasn't just for him. Surely he delights in it, but because he does it for you. Because it is a gift for all who believe, and we are partakers of this gift. In it we are comforted. We have joy. For that victory over death that Christ won on Easter morn is yours. The defeat of the devil is a defeat of the devil for you. When sin was overcome with his perfect, holy life, and his innocent suffering and death, he did it for you. But what if a person doesn't believe this? Let him be. We preach to those who have need. We preach to those who have heard God's holy law and are terrified by their sin, who are in mortal fear, who have despair of their death, who are without peace or rest, plagued by the trials and torments of this life. For them, Christ's resurrection is a wonderful gift. But not everyone knows this. Some have forgotten God's word, forgotten what he has said about our flesh, about the state of affairs, what death truly is. Some have forgotten that death is not an escape, but it is the penalty for sin. Some have forgotten even of sin, thinking that all is permissible if it feels good. Some have forgotten that they have an evil foe, one who torments them and tests them. That is the devil. And indeed, all of these lies are his lies, for he is the great deceiver, and they have listened to him. But here again, what conquers even the lie but the truth? The truth that is believed, the truth that Christ has died for sin, that he has destroyed death and strangled the devil. And he did it not for himself. He did not rise for his own justification, nor did he ascend to heaven just for good measure. No, he did all these things for you. He died for you. He rose for you. He ascended even to the right hand of the Father, that you who are in him would have the same inheritance, a heavenly estate, crowns of gold. So what is our response to the devil when he tries to lead us into despair or terror over sin or even unbelief? What is our response to sin? We say Christ died for that. What about death? Overcame in Christ. What of you, the devil, prowling about? You are powerless against the Almighty, the greatest, Jesus. His resurrection and victory is greater than everything in heaven and earth. It is the greatest treasure, the best gift for you. It isn't enough just to know that it happened. But know this, Christ died and rose for you. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.